Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and I just realized I've heard that voice before. That's right, it's the voice that I love and cherish. Vaguely recall that. Words didn't flow as well today as did yesterday. So I did some software, I've done some more stuff, so I didn't make my goal of getting enough. What I think is enough done. There's more done, but and maybe it's almost close enough that no matter what, it'll go out tomorrow because it's got to go out. But there is more stuff on shofarnexus.com/toy. I did something today which I haven't done in about a week. I took a walk, which was wonderful. And, you can tell that you're a bit odd if you take a 7-mile hike just to get $3 worth of bananas. I mean, kind of like it's a little strange. But I was so glad I did. Excellent time. So again, that should be an encouragement to my wife. I did 7 miles in about 90 minutes. That's good time. So I'm keeping the promise that I made to strive to maintain my health. And, that's solid evidence. I did notice some things today. And again, I continue to wonder about what's happening here and how it relates to the relationship in the institutional church. For example, it was a bit cold for a few days. And that included in New York, which obviously is further north, so it was even colder. And, of course, they have that a lot anyway. But I heard news clip of a talk by the New York governor, and the issue that I heard in the talk is this is all about climate change, and basically what we need is more power in the state. And it's kind of like, there are a lot of people who actually believe that. Again, it's the idea of groups of people who, several hundred private jets fly, annually to meet at COP27 was in Egypt this year. These people stay in, first class accommodations and wine and dine to the extreme. And then they tell you that you've got to stop using your SUVs and eat bugs. You may find, where's the expression that I've heard, rules for thee, but not for me? That's what you see happening. I know, I understand. The institutional church does it. So does my wife. I mean, obviously, that's being demonstrated by the fact I'm leaving a voicemail as opposed to talking to my kids directly. The other thing I saw is there was a blurb about the various accomplishments in space. This year, this was a little summary video done by Al Jazeera, no less. And I saw again. Do you realize what's happening? They show a picture, because the big deal was the James Webb telescope that was put out in space and getting back much clearer pictures. And what do they say? Okay, they have now greater evidence of planets around other stars, suns. And then they show this drawing of a mock-up, an idea of what this potential solar system looks like. And they show a sun. And of course, like it's frequently done when you show our solar system, you don't show the actual distance between, the planets, simply because otherwise you wouldn't see the planets. They're so far away. I mean, the planets are far away. However, so in a drawing, you would squeeze them together, but still show the relative size. And you can think things like color and things of that nature and some of the features. Because obviously we have good, clear pictures of Mars, Venus, and so forth, especially Mars and Venus, since they're rather close compared to, Jupiter or whatnot. But we have clear pictures of those now too. But at the same time, they show you these pictures from these, you know, they say the farthest found planets, and they show the same kind of drawings, or it's, you know, animated type images. And they show various characteristics of the planet, colors and surface features and whatnot. But they also show a brief blip of what the actual image was. And it's an image of about 5 pixels by 5 pixels. So the image they show with these all these colors and features and whatnot is completely made up. They have absolutely no evidence for it whatsoever. It's one of those, as they call it, an artist's conception. There's no evidence whatsoever. This comes from the idea of this 5 pixel, you know, 5 pixel square image. You see a dot and you say, okay, this is evidence for a planet because of various characteristics, because, you know, orbit around us, sun, and things of that nature. So you can see that some of these characteristics. And again, one of the ways that basically what that is, it's called fraud. Because you're given the impression that you have this information, and that's why you show these colored drawings. You have none of that whatsoever. But you show that drawing to give an impression this is what's been discovered. It's a lie. It's a complete lie. They also showed an image of the Milky Way, which I happen to be in right now. But then they go and say, look, this is an image of the black hole at the center of the Milky Way. However, there is strong evidence. Black holes don't exist. So what you can do is look at a spot that visibly you can say, oh, this suggests the idea that there's a blank spot here. So we'll call that a black hole. But there is, it's a theory that black holes exist. Then there is a lot more theories that black holes don't. What does the evidence point to? From my understanding, most of it points to the latter. But the idea of a black hole is necessary in order to fit a particular methodology, specifically the gravitational model of the universe, which you need in order to have the billions of years, which you need in order to give you the ooh and ah idea that evolution takes place. Because what is one of the other things they're talking about is we're looking for these planets that may support life. And, you know, if you're a scientist, then you might say, okay, I'm going to look at science, you know, things where it's you take evidence to draw conclusions, and you say, okay, here are the various characteristics, what it needs to take in order for life to form spontaneously, not only form spontaneously, but then maintain itself. Just because, you know, if you even got to the point that a single cell organism formed, will it be in the environment and have the reproductive capability? Because you can't just have a life start. It has to include the ability to replicate itself. Without that, so you have one. Hey, I'm here and I exist for a day and that's it. But what you do is give the ooh and awe of billions of years. But again, as I've pointed out, it's the idea of odds, and the odds of life forming randomly, even with the billions of years, is the odds of somebody winning $100 million jackpot, you know, lottery every day of their life for 80 years. If you believe that can happen, you can believe in random evolution. But don't call yourself a scientist, because that's just marketing. Because you're not looking at evidence. Anyway. But, you know, and of course, the other issue is the same. We're looking at distances. How do you know? How do you know this particular planet or whatnot, or solar or star or whatnot, is at a certain distance? You say, oh, redshift. But that was demonstrated as a fallacy decades ago. But we still use it. And see, if you can do fraud at that scale, why can you not question that? You know how much money is being made for the people who work at NASA and these various other organizations? Don't question this stuff. It's, you know, it's the same thing about the, you know, the fraud about climate change, because if you question that, then we wouldn't have as strong of a case to gain power for the state and put in the regulations and then of course the various corporate entities that want to do things to get greater control, market share, and of course the eugenicists are among us. But anyway, I'm going to leave you a link to a video that I've actually been watching. I'm near the end. It's called "The Russian Chinese Ties versus U.S. Aggression." This is a Berlick is the gentleman's name. This is a conversation between three gentlemen, all born in the U.S. One lives in Russia. One lives in Indonesia. One lives in Thailand, I think, not or Taiwan. No, I think it's Thailand. Anyway, they all no longer live here, but they're very attuned. You know, they're very involved, write about and speak about foreign affairs kind of things and military stuff. And I specifically found this particular program extremely good, because it very well, some of the guys, especially the one guy, I've known him for years, or listened to him for years, Mark Sloboda. He's in Russia, an American in Russia. Been there for years. And he and this other gentleman, Carl Zay, I think it is, well explained some of the mentality behind why things are the way they are, and the fallacies I highly recommend it. It's like 90 minutes long. I recommend that. But anyway, I didn't get my stuff done. Hopefully I'll get it done more tomorrow, and I'll probably send it out anyway because I need to. Just the other thing, the point about making this climate change fraud thing and the space fraud thing, that's not unique. Because, you know, what I find is you need to get in, you're in a particular group, and there's a model that the collective has, and you got to follow that model. You don't want to deviate to any degree from that. Otherwise, you're not part of the collective. Yeah. So this is true with the space stuff, or the politics stuff, the climate change, and all that other stuff. You cannot deviate from the general idea of the group. And Saturday when Chris and I talked, you know, one of the things we've worked for years over the questions of the relationship between the Father and the Son, God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, what that means, what is that in reality, and what is it a model for? What is the relationship between God and his elect? Because it's married, that is clearly mirrored in the relationship between the husband and the wife. You know, said so directly, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church or the assembly. So, I mean, it's not just suggestion. It's right there, blatant. So that relationship is there. There's the male-female relationship. Because obviously God created man first, and we see that woman was created for man. We see that echoed in the New Testament. And the wife is called to submit to her husband. So there is a hierarchy relationship there. It is the only place, well, there is the child submitting to the parents until the child becomes married and on their own. Then there is an honor, but it's not, the authority breaks down. And of course, in the case of male, female, we have that hierarchy to a degree, in the sense that the wife submits to the husband submits to Christ. But at the same time, the husband and wife stand before the Lord next to each other, not one behind the other, because there is neither male nor female in that context. So it is context. So there is a role in this life, but in the eternity, in the spiritual world, we're side by side. There is no superiority. So it's how to get this all together. Then, of course, you know, when you look at the relationship between God the Father and God the Son, and where's the Holy Spirit in that, you have the Trinity doctrine that is described in many ways. So how does this all fit together? Because I'm quite convinced there is one consistent package here. It's not haphazard stuff. It doesn't change, you know. So what is it? So I would suggest, and this is what we're, you know, been working in, well, to me, again, one of the things that really has sunk in really strong, especially in the last year, is the significance of Genesis 1. And I think, again, the reason that we don't put as much significance in it is because day one happened this, day two happened, and we get caught in that as if that's all what Genesis 1 talks about. You know, and because I really think some of the most significant words in the Bible are the first words, in the beginning. Because what that indicates is there was a beginning. But it's not that there was a beginning and then God existed in the beginning. But God actually creates time itself. And when you add that to the picture, which I will contend is consistent with Genesis 1, you know, again, the idea there was no 5 minutes before in the beginning. God creates time, which, again, I would say it clarifies so many things. But it also, because he creates time and space, there wasn't the, as it's called, the vacuum of space before God. God creates. He creates the emptiness. The emptiness didn't exist until he said, it exists. You know, it's well said in the Quran, be, and it is. You know, but obviously they got the wrong God, but that's another issue. But the idea, I think, is sound in the sense that when God says something exists, it's because God says something exists and he's God. He's not whimsical, though. So he creates time. You know, I've actually thought about that. He may be whimsical. You know, there may be, you know, for example, a single rock sitting on a planet far away that defies all sorts of logic or whatnot, you know, or has a smiley face on it or something of that nature, just for his own whim, just for his own delight. Why not? I mean, you know, if I was God, those are the kind of things I would do. But, you know, Anyway. So if he creates time, then the idea that God the Father is outside of creation makes more sense. It makes, and then him stepping into creation as Jesus Christ, and then when we read in Genesis 1, he saw it. It's kind of like, oh, how did he see it? Because he was there looking at it happen. And who was making it happen? He was. So again, that's why I point out Genesis 1 is science, because we have an eyewitness. The question now is the credibility of the eyewitness. But Genesis 1 is science, because it was observed. But so you have all those things, and you can, and of course it's the be fruitful and multiply, and the be the overlord of the earth, plants and animals. And you know, you put those things together, that's a big deal. You know, and you know, there's also the creation of man, which, you know, kind of like had an impact on us. But so all that is there in Genesis 1. And when you see that, it's not, it seems to me what's there at the beginning is the foundation for everything. The relationship of the Father and Son was there in the beginning. It wasn't an idea that came up thousands of years later. It was there at the beginning. The idea of the Lord and his elect was there at the beginning. His elect, Adam. The idea of male and female was there at the beginning. And, you know, it's one of the things I think is important is when we see, because I was reading even today a verse, and I don't remember what verse it was, but it may have been with, anyway, but there's many verses where you get the idea of just, you know, the Lord talking to men, okay, it was Matthew 23:8. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And the thing about that is the note on the ESV is it says translation gender neutral or brothers and sisters. And when I look at other translations, it's brothers. When I look at the best understanding I have of the Greek, it's masculine. It's not neuter. So, what does this imply? That we are you have one teacher and you're all brothers. Does it apply to women? You know, because this, and there's so many other cases like this. And so my suggestion that I'm working through, trying to understand, is when we have the idea that there's neither, you know, there's no Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female. When we see that, that implies a particular context. So when we look at the father-son relationship, the reason we can do that and not have father and, you know, child relationship or father and son and daughter relationship is because the father-son relationship is the model, but women and men is kind of a temporary thing. It's this life alone. That characteristic is not the draw, you know. And I think we have this distortion of this because we get distorted by sex drive. Women and men, there's something more important than the sex drive, the relationship with Christ, far more. You know, it's the first John, the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are the things that drive you. You're missing the relationship with Christ. Are we flawed at that? Well, yes, actually. However, then that's the grace question. Anyway, but there's so much to work out on this and to make it, to have a clear understanding, because I think the relationship between the Father and Son is the relationship between the Father and all of mankind, which includes women who are part of his elect. Anyway, there's so much on this. I won't go much long. Okay, I'll stop with that. Because it's a struggle. I want to understand this because I want to understand my Creator in order to live in obedience to him. Anyway, hopefully I'll have more on the shofarnexus.com/toy tomorrow and send my email out. There's a joy in the relationship between a husband and wife. There's an intimate bond. It is unambiguously a reflection of the joy of the relationship between Christ and his elect. Well, and you know, because again, we are his bride. Me as a male am the bride of Christ. Is that because it's one of the things we discussed Saturday, is that a bride in a collective sense, he has the one bride, the collective of the elect, or is it a bride as a bunch of individual brides? And these brides are male and female. Because there's neither male nor female in that context. I'm not sure. Both ideas are on the table. I'm leaning toward the second. That is the individual relationships to his bride. I can see an argument for the first. I don't know. But I delight in exploring. Because I want to know my Creator. And you know, he even talks about it. Anyway, I'll stop. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore. You know, I said yesterday, I want to be at the top of Big Frog Mountain for your birthday next year. And I want to do jumping jack number 1 million up there. I want to have George there. The other guys too, but somehow I really want to have George there. Because he's the one that wrote me and said, I wish we were family again. And I agree with him. I want to have George there with me. It would be even greater to have the other guys, maybe my girls, especially my wife. This is my hope. This is my plan. This is what I've resolved to do. If the Lord allows, I will be at the top of Big Frog Mountain December 8th, 2023. Join me. I love you and I want you back.